And we are thrilled to be joined by Jim Polzin from the Wisconsin State Journal. And Jim, perfect timing because it sounds like the Badgers are inching closer to figuring out who their athletic director is going to be. And I don't know if you heard Molly Brown at the back end of it, but before you joined here, one of the things that she heard from Marcus Sedbury today at a Downtown Madison Inc. event was he said the Badgers, he doesn't want them to fall even more behind. And I thought that was a fascinating quote. And then she said the same thing I've heard about a lot of people of Sedbury is more likable and more affable than McIntosh, but at the same time, it still feels a lot of the same old from him. I don't know your opinions on Sedbury and your actions with him, but also that statement from him.
Yeah, I'll start with the first one. I mean, not surprising to hear. Like, when Ted Kellner came out last fall and said they were bottom six in the Big Ten, I think that was a pretty clear indication of just where they stood compared to the teams they were competing against. So, and it's something I've heard from coaches and administrators that they realize they're behind. They don't want to really talk about how they got behind, but they know there's some catching up to do at a time when like that was the most interesting thing last fall is like Wisconsin's like we want to increase our resources. We want to spend more. We want our NIL game to increase. But all along they understood that every other competitor in the Big Ten was doing the same thing. So it wasn't like you're up in your game and you're catching up. You have to up your game and then some to kind of maintain. So that was the tricky thing. As for Sedbury, I like him as a person. I think he's a good guy, well-spoken. I think his heart is in the right place. I don't know that he has a realistic chance of getting this job. I'd be surprised if he got this job. It'd be tough to hire someone, A, without athletic director experience beyond this interim stint. And then B, someone who's kind of connected to why Wisconsin in some ways is behind, right? Like he's this downward trend in football. It's not Marcus Sedbury's fault, but since he's been here, the trend has continued. And I think that's something that probably will be held against him, even if the candidate pool was not all that outstanding.
Jim, I'm currently on the CSA search consulting website for the Badgers AD job. And the first sentence...
And why are you there? Just so people are...
Oh, yes. So the Badgers are using CSA consulting to help them make the hire of their new athletic director. And it has listed here the opportunity. UW-Madison seeks a bold, visionary, relationship-driven, entrepreneurial, and financially astute director of athletics. From what you know about the situation, do you think that's pretty accurate to what the Badgers actually want in their athletic director? And out of those qualities, what do you think is most important for the Badgers to get right?
Yeah, good questions. I certainly think that was a very corporate way of saying kind of what you want. I would love to hear. I mean, I'd love for Eric Wilcox to sit down and kind of give his thoughts and tell us what he's looking for and how he'll decide ultimately since it's going to be his decision. We haven't really gotten a chance to speak to him yet or don't know a whole ton about him, considering he's the guy that's going to make this big decision. So we'd love to sit down and talk to him, first of all. I'm trying to think of all those things. Visionary probably stands out as being the most important thing to me. I don't know that it's listed, but in talking to people over the last month or so, people who are interested in this process and people who are even want to be in the running for this job, I think the one thing that comes up pretty consistently is that they feel like there needs to be someone who goes out there and unites. They need to get around the state and build up some good vibes. And I think, without saying as much, that was a criticism on their part of Chris McIntosh, that he didn't get out to around the state enough and didn't get out to Joe Fan and just let them know that we're in this together, put on a cheesehead. Make them feel good, stuff like that. It's just these people want to hear. They want you to feel like you're one of them, and I don't think Chris McIntosh did a good enough job. So I think that's one quality that I would look for in the next person is get out there and unite, get out there and inspire, because it's not easy. I thought the one thing, Riley, that came out of this whole thing yesterday from the search firm was, and I don't know what to make of it, but I thought it was interesting, is that and Todd Molesky, my colleague, wrote this today, is that UW is looking for successful experience as an athletic director or senior administrator in the, quote, modern Power Four athletics landscape is strongly preferred. Now, is strongly preferred is interesting there. It's not a absolute requirement, but the fact that they're looking for someone who's been an AD or senior administrator in the modern Power Four athletics landscape, I think in my mind eliminates a lot of people, including a lot of people that were on my 12-person list that I put out a couple of days after Chris left. So that to me was the bullet point that I walked away from thinking more about.
The Uniter part is interesting to me because there, and I'm sure you've talked to a lot of the same people, there's a lot of people that felt, whether when they played with Mac or when he got here or were on Paul Chris' staff or played for Paul, like, it just was a major disconnect. And he did seem like he started behind the eight ball, not because he hired Fickell, but because just from the beginning, I don't know if it's a strength of his or not, but he didn't get out in front of and at least behind the scenes talk to people who would be rightfully upset with Jim not getting the job and Fickell just having that ability to connect with people. And it doesn't have to be just the fans. It can be alumni. And I do think that that's a really important thing to have for the new AD, is someone that can unite. How important, and obviously it's kind of a tricky thing because you don't want to be old school Badgers, but if there's someone with the ties to the state of Wisconsin or had been an athlete here, something to understand, or even in the Midwest to understand what it is, I think is helpful. Because you can look at Luke Fickell. He played at Ohio State, coached Cincinnati, did not understand what Wisconsin is about.
Yeah, I think that would be helpful and important. Not a prerequisite, I don't think. And I will say this, that list is pretty small as is, you know. There's not a lot of obvious candidates with UW ties or even Wisconsin ties. And then if you limit that candidate pool to Power Four experience as either an AD or a senior administrator, the list shrinks even more. So while I agree with you, I think I've always thought this, that there's a knowledge of this place and kind of how the inner workings of it go is important. But also, if they find an outstanding candidate from outside, then by all means, hire that person, right? Like if I'm listing things of importance, visionary and the ability to unite and stuff like that, bold, all the things that Riley listed, you know, there could be a person outside Wisconsin ties that checks all those boxes. So that's why I'm hoping they open this. Like, I think that was one of the first things I wrote is, you know, deep search, cast a wide net, you know, listen, don't be afraid to think outside the box. So, you know, again, I think this is going to be a pretty quiet search, but I'm hoping that they do that. They look outside the box. I'm hoping also that B, the candidate pool isn't limited by the fact that the person is going to come in and work for an interim chancellor. You know, they're hiring the AD before the chancellor, and I understand why, but I do wonder whether that'll limit some of the candidates.
You mentioned just now the shrinking pool, and you've brought that up a few times now, how limited this net could end up being, or this pool of candidates could end up being with all their expectations and requirements. Going back specifically to needing that modern Power Four athletics landscape experience, is there any name off the top of your head that would fit that bill that Wisconsin could either poach from another school or would want to come to Wisconsin? Is there any name that sticks out to you in, like, as a current athletic director or with that experience that Wisconsin could feasibly get?
Okay, so literally the first name I thought of was Jamie Pollard, who's at Iowa State, and checks off all the boxes. State guy, has been here, has proven to be successful at the Power Four, AD, all those things. I get no impression that he wants to come here. And I haven't talked to Jamie, but in talking to people who know him, that was their sense that he is not looking to move to this place right now. And that he's a guy I would wonder about, does not knowing who your boss is going to be in 9 months, is that a factor in his decision not to throw his name in the hat? But I mean, that's the one guy with connections that, you know, that really stands out. You know, Sean Frazier is another guy. Like, if I thought you guys might ask me to handicap this race, and I would have, last week at this time, I would have said Sean Frazier, in part because I don't know none of the other candidates stand out as being obvious. So I think Sean Fraser was kind of the would have been the leader in my mind with no inside knowledge of that. But once you limit now to Power Four experience as an AD or senior administrator in the modern world of college athletics, which I take to mean 2021 forward, the time NIL and portal went into effect. So, I mean, that really does limit your candidate pool. And I would think Sean Fraser would have a tough time selling himself given those preferences.
So we won't put a full name game here, but the one that kind of came to mind, because it was given to me by a former Badger who at least has a care into this, Sean Eichhorst from Nebraska, and then is, I think, an assistant. With Texas currently. And then if you wanted to think outside the box, I've said this before and I'll say it again, the guy on the committee, Chris Ballard, he's beloved everywhere. He's Chicago Chiefs and the Colts, at least within the organization. Colts fans are like, take him. But look, he's not finding the talent. I just think if you're running an NFL team and you're doing all these things, I think you could have the ability to learn the AD job on the fly, but understand that these are almost professional athletes now. And how to kind of connect with them and do that. So those are two names that, for me, kind of stand out. One more of fitting the resume that they're looking for. But I don't even know if they could pull Sean from Texas. I'm sure he gets a nice big paycheck, even being an assistant AD there or whatever his title is. But and I don't know if fans would be excited. He didn't kind of did what Mack did at Nebraska. Everything else won except for football.
Yeah. No, his name's been floated a couple times to me, too. I'm the same boat. Like, I think he loves this place. I think he'd come back. I think he's got experience, but the Nebraska thing scares me. It really does. And it would be a tough sell, I think, to fans. But that's also not knowing who he's up against, right? Like, we just don't know. The idea of hiring someone from outside, like a Chris Ballard type or someone, I think absolutely has to be a consideration. I just wonder whether it would be kind of a scary proposition to go with a quote-unquote first-time AD after doing that 5 years ago with Chris McIntosh, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's, you can't really hire someone who's got to learn on the fly. That's a tough sell. I think the one thing is, and I'm not going to throw any names out here because I just don't think it's fair, but I mentioned this from the start, is that when I actually tried to do this exercise, I went through Big Eight and ACC athletic directors, current athletic directors right now, thinking that some of them or one or two of them might be ready to make the move to the Big Ten. If we are to believe that the Big Ten and SEC is where all the power and money and stability is right now, then maybe if you're a sitting athletic director at one of the next two Power Four conferences, you're looking for a fresh start. And I do think this is a good job. I think there's a chance to kind of awake a sleeping giant here. I think there's a lot to love about this place, both internally and the city in itself, the state. You know, so I do wonder, when I saw that line yesterday about experience at the Power Four level, I do wonder whether there's been some interesting names already that have floated themselves to the search firm and trickled their way into the search committee's stratosphere. Because I don't think that's a long shot that, I'm not going to name any names because I started this exercise and it's just like, why, you know, I don't even know this person. I don't know whether they'd like Wisconsin. So it's silly putting them on my list. That's why I left the list at kind of connections to the state and maybe some other potential candidates.
So even though it doesn't sound like we have a name that would be a guaranteed slam dunk hire for Wisconsin, to do a little projection here, let's say Wisconsin does absolutely nail the hire. They find the perfect person who ushers them into the new era. They catch up to the big guys. What does Wisconsin athletics look like in 5 to 10 years if they crush this hire, if they hire the perfect candidate?
Well, that's such a hard question because, I mean, 5 years, like, tell me what they look like in 2 years. That's the thing. Like, so many questions I'll have about the next person is, how patient are they going to be with Luke Fickell? I mean, you got to start with football, right? Right. Like, that's where this all starts. If this person comes from an ACC or Big 12 place, do they have a next football coach in mind already? What are their connections there? I think that's where I would start and I don't know. Like, I don't know what the landscape's going to look like. Yeah, the SEC meetings were this week, and you've got people at Georgia, both Kirby Smart and the president, talking about breaking away, and I don't think that's possible at all. I don't think it's going to happen, but you know, we're just in such a time of uncertainty right now. Congress has got a bill that's making its way through, and what's that going to do to change? Is there going to be more lawsuits off of that? Are eventually going to get to the place where athletes are employees? There's just so many unanswerable questions, Riley, that I don't know how to project what this place is going to look like. It's a scary time. I'm not going to lie. It's a scary time for everything, because if football's not successful and your fan base, your ticket base continues to shrink, it's got a trickle down effect that impacts non-revenue and other sports. And then, you know, it's not good.
It affects the, you know, Madison community too, all the businesses there too. If they don't win, that hurts as well. As Sedbury was, you know, talking about the $19 million per game that the Badgers bring in. So you mentioned a few times the not having a chancellor and hiring an AD. And I think I'm curious in this day and age what your thoughts of it are, because like Barry and Pat with Donna Sterling, like that all worked, and she was a key part of why it all worked here, in addition to the visions from Pat and Barry. And I think sometimes fans don't realize how important that connection could be. Is that still, do you think, today's day and age, something that is important at the University of Wisconsin, of having those two in line?
Absolutely. Alignment, I think, is huge, which is why this next phase is scary if you've if you're coming in here and don't know who your boss is going to be. Donna Shalala understood that athletics was, you know, kind of the front porch for the university, and would impact things, if successful, would impact things academically, right? And she was a visionary. She was bold. Like, she was all the things that they're saying in this job search. And she went out and hunted for athletic director. And there was – Pat Richter was not traditional. Like, we're talking about now. Like, Pat Richter was working at Oscar Mayer, right? Yeah. He had no athletic director experience. So I think that's why some people think, well, maybe go outside the box. And maybe that is the way they should go. I don't know. But she had alignment with Pat. Pat Richter had alignment with Barry Alvarez once he got hired. It's just, you know, you need that. It really, because you don't want to sit there and wonder. The Gary Anderson hire is kind of a mini perfect example of that, right? Like, 2 years into the job, Gary was like, I don't know that I'm getting what I signed up for. And that alignment seemed to be off. And that, it can ruin a process. So, yes, I mean, they need alignment. And again, that's why it's a little bit there's people that have made the case to me that, hey, you should wait until a chancellor's hired. And I think you can make a case for that. I think you can make a strong case against it, because it pretty much means Luke Fickell keeps his job in the fall no matter what. So waiting is not ideal. And yet I think the people I've talked to are like, well, if you don't wait and there's misalignment come next year or 2 years, then you're kind of right back to where you started.
You know, Pat's an interesting hire, because he shared with us a couple weeks ago that, you know, the only reason he really kind of took the job is that his family didn't want to move to Chicago. And they're like, I guess we'll take this job and we'll see where it goes. And obviously that changed the course of Badger athletics. You never know what can change it. But the other thing that he said that was interesting was that he thought, visionary is a good word for it, but he thought the athletic director, and I don't know if this was in reference to this wasn't happening or not, but needed to kind of have a customer service mentality when NIL, saying that basically NIL isn't different than raising money for all the facilities that you needed during his time. It's the same idea, and, you know, it might be easier at points because now you have a little bit more with them for people. Like, what's in it for them? Well, you could have the quarterback talk about your business. So being more creative in those sorts of things and building out the department is important. So he kind of just said that someone who has the understanding that you are in customer service and that the customer and the donors and all that, they're always right, and you need to figure out how to connect with them on a personal level and make them feel important. And I've talked to plenty of businesses in my day job here that don't feel like they were valued, and they'll tell me a million stories of how Barry made things happen for them, and they always felt valued, and it never was anything extraordinary. It was just a phone call or a letter or something when they made a donation, or a hello, or yeah, stop by my box. And he was just more accessible. That wasn't the case under Mac. And I think a lot of people took notice for that in an era where they needed money and needed businesses more than ever.
Yeah. If you're winning, all that stuff can kind of be forgotten and ignored. But once you start losing and the pressure starts to pile up, you need those relationships. You need people to believe in you, because they've seen you, they've heard you, they trust you. And I do think there's kind of been, and it's not just Mac specific, but I think they've kind of forgotten the quote unquote little man, the Joes and Janes of the fan base, who maybe aren't the big spenders, but will continue to buy season tickets every year, even if things look pretty dreary. And, you know, I did a story a couple months ago, I think it's been a couple months or maybe a month and a half, on kind of the difficult decision that season ticket holders had to make. And that was what finally, a lot of them that are finally saying, no, we're done. The conclusion they came to was that we just don't feel appreciated.
Yeah.
And that's tough. It's a tough spot to be in. So yes, whoever comes next has to do a lot of relationship mending. It's a pretty significant task. I think people that I've talked to that want the job view it as a challenge, and they're kind of competitors and say, hey, I understand it's a challenge, but I like that, and let's attack it head on. So it'll be interesting to see who gets it, and who's if some names float out there. I'm curious to see how much they want this job, because remember, 5 years ago the finalists were Mac, Sean Frazier, mm-hmm. and
she took the Iowa
Beth
job,
Getz.
Right?
Beth Getz was at Allstate, and I was at Iowa. Yeah, so now that's not three bad candidates, but for a Big Ten job, you know,
yeah,
I don't know that
three fine candidates.
You're wowed by the finalists. Yeah,
yeah. Last one from me, Jim. You brought it up earlier. Ultimately, it all comes down to the success of football when we break it down. So I know Colton's been taking the brunt of attending practices and everything, but heading into this season, how are you personally feeling about Wisconsin football?
Yeah, I mean, the best thing they have going for them is that the schedule lightens up, right? You look at that schedule, and I mean, to me, if anything less than 7-5 would be, I mean, just it shouldn't happen. Like, I just think there's seven winnable games on that schedule, and maybe not even winnable, but games you have to win. And I even think 8-4 is probably not that crazy of an idea, considering how the schedule plays out. I heard Molly talking in about the quarterback situation, and I know you were there sometimes, Riley. I think I like what I see in Colton Joseph. I don't know if he's going to be a star, but if he can make some plays with his feet and arm and not turn the ball over, I think this defense will be solid. I really like what they've done in the secondary. You've got a couple of potential studs in Mason Posa and Cooper Catalano. So I think the pieces are in place, and we saw this a little bit last November to have a pretty good defense. And if the offense can just hold its own and not be a dead weight, then I think it gives you a chance to win some of these winnable games. So, you know, as I always will be, I'm optimistic. I've pretty consistently been two wins off during the Fickell era. I've always, I predicted 9-3 in first year, and it was 7-6. And then I thought 7-5, and it was 5-7. And I think last year I thought 500 and back to a bowl game, and it was 4-8. So whenever I make a final record prediction, just remember to subtract two wins.
Okay, so could you predict a 12-0 season, please? That would be very appreciated, so we can get 10-2.
I don't see that happening, Riley. I'm sorry.
Jim, what do you think of the gear that Riley got from the Big Ten, because he decided not to take off his Big Ten shirt at the SEC baseball tournament?
So it's funny. I didn't hear the kind of the end game to this. I was listening to you guys last week when he called in from SEC baseball tournament. I thought that was a hilarious segment on just why he was wearing it. Wasn't Evan Cohen on the show?
And yes. Like, yeah.
He was really criticizing. Oh, yeah. I remember exactly what it was. Yeah. He was really criticizing you. I felt bad for you, Riley.
I appreciate the Big Ten.
So I didn't know this. The Big Ten sent you some merch, huh?
Yeah, they sent me a box.
Yeah, you unboxed it to start the show.
It had a crew neck, a couple of hats, a water bottle, some beer koozies. I'm more than happy with the haul from just deciding to not put on an SEC hoodie in 95-degree weather. So I'm feeling great.
Was that the return address, the director of strategy, associate commissioner in charge of strategy? Was that,
you know, I might actually still have the return label on it. Let me take a gander real quick.
I'm gonna say no, because he was not a big
all
fan
right
of the
Jessica
show.
Lee all at right. Big Ten all Rosemont right. Illinois. Okay. I don't know if you know the name or know her, but that's who it was. That's who all sent right. it.
Well, thanks to Jessica and Jim.
Good for you and good for them.
Yeah. No, it was fun. Look at that. You get some good pub and they get out in front of it.
Yeah.
Wisconsin volleyball is great at that as well. Maybe the football team should step that up.
Suit.
But Jim, thanks so much for hopping on with us.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. Take care.
That's Jim Polzine from the Wisconsin State Journal, Badger Extra.